The tour content from now through Pesach has been sponsored by the Kofsky family in loving memory of Adira, who loved big ideas and asking big questions.
Hello, I'm Rabbi Matt Schneeweis, and this is the audio version of the one-page article I wrote and published on my blog, Kol HaSridim, on August 2nd, 2022, entitled Wishful Thinking and Prophetic Interpretation. Last summer, my mom asked me to look through a bunch of random Jewish books in our possession to see which ones we should keep and which ones we should sell or give away. One of the books I found, and have no idea how we came to own, was called Fascinating Torah Prophecies Currently Unfolding, published in 1997. The contents are exactly what you'd expect from a book with that title, especially one with a teaser banner on the cover advertising fascinating codes and more. You can probably guess whether that one ended up in the keep pile or the get rid of pile. I found myself thinking of this book after reading Rav Yosef Ibn Kaspi's introduction to Sefer Yirmiyahu. Quote, "This prophet Yirmiyahu also did what Yeshaya did, mentioning at the beginning of his book the name and intent of its author. This prophet also informed us of the intent of his book by stating that his prophecies were from the time of Yoshiyahu until the end of the days of Tzidkiyahu, in whose days and era the temple was destroyed. Therefore, note that this prophet doesn't speak at all about the building of the third temple, which we undoubtedly yearn for today. This is clear, for he prophesied the destruction of the first temple and the building of the second temple, as Yeshaya did. The general rule is that it is not at all appropriate to ascribe to any prophet a prophecy about the building of the third temple unless we first find written in his book a promise about the destruction of the second temple. Without a doubt, Yirmiyah did not strive to assure them about the destruction of the second temple, even though he undoubtedly alluded to it with hints, as Yeshaya did. Just as Moshe alluded to the destruction of the first temple with hints that would not be grasped by the masses. Someone who is an expert in these holy books will understand the truth of our words." End quote. Ibn Kaspi's general rule is not unanimous. Others maintain that prophets do prophesy beyond their stated range. Rashi, for instance, interprets the pasuk in Yirmiyahu 31:3, which says, "I shall yet build you and you shall be built, O virgin of Israel." Rashi interprets that to mean, quote, "You had two buildings made by men, therefore they were destroyed. Yet I myself, with a capital M, will build a third building which will be built forever." End quote. Ibn Kaspi was aware of such views, which is why he stated his objections at the outset of his commentary. Which side of the machlokas do I think is correct? I have no idea. Why not? Because, as Ibn Kaspi said, only, quote, "someone who is an expert in these holy books will understand the truth of our words," end quote. And I am not an expert in prophetic exegesis, not even close. I have heard it said in the name of Rabbi Joseph B. Soloveitchik that, quote, "we no longer know how to learn Nevi'im nowadays," end quote. I was unable to track down a source or a context for this quotation, but I refuse to believe he meant that the ideas and Musar, rebuke of the Nevi'im, is inaccessible to us. Instead, I assume he meant that we, unlike the medieval commentators, are unable to decipher the precise meanings of the prophecies in the Nevi'im portion of Tanakh. It is very easy for a person to think they're deciphering cryptic prophecies with their mind when all they're doing is engaging in wishful thinking with their imagination. Who wouldn't want to find a message of hope in a pasuk from Sefer Yirmiyahu about Yemos Mashiach and the building of Bayis Shlishi? But that's exactly the point. Our interpretation of the Nevi'im should not be guided by hope, but by our knowledge of how Nevuah works and how the Nevi'im wrote. Rashi did not interpret the aforementioned pasuk to be about Bayis Shlishi simply because he wanted it to be about Yemos Mashiach. His interpretation was guided by his understanding of the subject matter. Lastly, we must remember the Rambam's words in Hilchos Malachim Umilchamos 12:2 about Messianic speculations. Quote, "Regarding all these details of the time of Mashiach, no person knows how they will be until they happen, for these things were hidden even from the prophets, and there is no clear tradition from the sages on these matters. Therefore, there's disagreement about them. Nevertheless, neither the order nor the details of these matters are an essential part of the religion. A person shouldn't involve himself in the words of the Agados, the homiletical teachings, nor should he spend time in the words of the Midrashim, which were stated about these topics, and he shouldn't regard them as fundamental, for they do not bring a person to fear of God nor to love of God."
If you've gained from what you've learned here today, please consider contributing to my Patreon at www.patreon.com/Rabbi Schneeweis. Alternatively, if you would like to make a direct contribution to the Rabbi Schneeweis Torah Content Fund, my Venmo is at Matt-Schneeweis, and my Zelle/Chase QuickPay and PayPal are MattSchneeweis@gmail.com. Even a small contribution goes a long way to covering the cost of my podcast and will provide me with the financial freedom to produce even more Torah content for you. If you would like to sponsor an article, shiur, or podcast episode, or if you are interested in enlisting my services as a teacher or tutor, you can reach me at rabbischneeweis@gmail.com. Thank you to my listeners for listening, thank you to my readers for reading, and thank you to my supporters for supporting my efforts to make Torah ideas available and accessible to everyone.